This week on All of the Above with Norman Lear, Veep star Julia Louis-Dreyfus sits down with Norman and Paul.
Well, you know, there wasn't a script when I was first talking to HBO about it. There wasn't a concept. And my agent had said to me, listen, they're developing this thing at HBO about an unhappy vice president, an unhappy female vice president. And I thought to myself, well, I got to get in on this action because it's gold. And it's so amazing that nobody's done it before.
Listen today on the Podcast One app or subscribe at Apple Podcasts or on PodcastOne.com.
Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back here with a double exit interview after episode number 13 of Survivor Game Changers. And this is our last regular season exit interviews of the year, if you can believe it. Should be a good one today. Andrea Belke and then Michaela Bradshaw both voted out. Certainly a lot more controversy and intrigue surrounding the second vote off of Michaela with the non-transferable advantage trying to be played by Suri. Ultimately, she did not read the fine print on that. I'm sure we will have much more discussion about that coming out of last night's Know-It-Alls, where we tried to explain everything with Stephen Fishback. Thought that was a really great Know-It-Alls episode last night. And then I'll get into everything with the young lad, Spencer Bledsoe, will be my guest to talk about it all later this afternoon. So be on the lookout for that. Thursday evening into Friday morning, of course, our voicemail podcast is coming up as well. Mike Bloom joins me, and he's really settled into that spot. Last voicemail of the season, and we're going to be recording that on Friday afternoon. So plenty of time to get your questions and comments in. RobHasAWebsite.com/voicemail or call us in 323-282-RHAP. No good excuse this week to not get a question into the show. Then after our exit interview today, I will also be talking with Jordan Kalish on the season finale of This Week in Survivor History, the quiz. So stay tuned for that after the exit interviews. But it looks like we have Andrea on the line. Let's go ahead and patch her in. Andrea, are you there?
Hi.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing very good, Andrea. Congratulations on everything this season. I thought that this was your best game of Survivor out there in three tries. And also, let me apologize for my terrible advice to tell you to not go play on this season, Andrea.
Yeah, you better be sorry.
Yes.
It was funny, though, because you were so adamant about this being a bad move for me. And then it made me question everything. And I actually told my agent after I talked to you that I think I was going to pass because I don't know if it's a good move for me. You know, okay, look, because obviously I have to take my career into consideration. Is this worth it? Blah, blah, blah. And then I couldn't sleep that night. And my parents were on my case about, Andrew, why won't you take this opportunity? And then I'm like, you know what? Rob Cesternino does not know what he's talking about.
No, never. Nobody should listen to me.
I get what you were saying, though. Because, look, this could have turned out way worse than it did. I'm pretty lucky I went as far.
No, you did great. And I was stupid. And nobody should ever listen to me. But, Andrea, that I also have to give you another compliment. Because I think that you are really one of the best sports that there is in Survivor. But, whether you went out of the game with an idol in your pocket the previous time, this time you get blindsided and you just go over and like tickle Suri like she's a big baby. Like, come here, you. Come here. Get over here. What are you doing?
I don't know why I did that. I don't know why that was my instinct to tickle her. It was really weird. And then she looked scared about it. And then I remember leaving thinking, was that creepy? Like, why did I do that? It's so odd. Well, because I think this was my thing. So Suri and I had this joke that I would date her son, because when her son was on the island, he mentioned me and said that he thought I was hot or something. So I kept joking with Suri, like, I'm going to date your son. And then in my mind, I'm like, if I'm ever voted off, that's what I'm going to say to her, to really bug her. And so I think I planned on actually saying that, but I was so shocked that all I could do was do a tickle.
Well, you could really spite her by, you know, spending a lifetime with somebody just out of revenge.
Yeah, I think I might.
So, Andrea, could you talk to me about who was in your final three? Because I don't think we ever got to see that in the show.
Yeah, I was open to a few different scenarios. And this is the thing, Rob, I'll be honest. I was not sure how I was going to get there. It was kind of like not a clear path, but I was navigating. I think a lot of people are like that, though. You have your ideal, and then you have like your second backup. So like, this could work. Okay, maybe this. So at this point, I was working really closely with Aubrey. And at that point, I really wanted to work with her till the end. I wasn't sure if I could beat Aubrey in the final three, but I thought I had more of a chance beating Aubrey than I would with Sari or Sarah. So I was okay if Aubrey got there. Ideally, I think I would have liked to be against maybe Michaela and Ty.
Mm-hmm.
I just wasn't sure how I was going to swing that. That was the only thing. So I would have been, I kind of thought maybe Aubrey and Ty, Aubrey and Michaela, or ideally Michaela and Ty. But I was really trying to work that Ty relationship. Man, I just couldn't get anywhere with him. We would have these heart-to-hearts on, you know, we would climb a cliff and have this heart-to-heart and look each other in the eyes and promise we were going to be honest with each other and tell each other information. And then when it came down to it, we just, you know, it was just such a dead end with him. But I really wanted to possibly be there with Ty and maybe Michaela or Aubrey.
Would you have sat in the final three with Sari, or was that something you never wanted to do?
No, I mean, absolutely not. Okay. Nobody would beat Sari. That's the thing.
Okay, because then that's consider that another thing that I was wrong on, because I felt like that you and Sari had a pretty close relationship, and I was saying that I thought it was a mistake for Sari to get rid of you because you would have gone to the final three with Sari, but no.
I would have went to final four.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, I wasn't planning on taking out Sari anytime soon, for sure, but I couldn't go against Sari in final three. I would for 100% lose.
Okay. Well, everybody's talking about you in terms of the people on this season. So we don't see a lot of talk about Sari.
I know. Well, I didn't know that. I thought the jury hated me. I had no idea. I wouldn't even look over there. I was so nervous. You'd see other people looking over the jury, and I couldn't look over there. I thought they hated me.
So like, coming into this episode, you seemed very concerned about the interaction that Sarah was having with Sierra. And that was a reason that you said you wanted to target Sarah. What was it that you felt like was going on?
Well, look, at this point, we didn't know what the legacy advantage was because we hadn't seen Millennials versus Gen X. So, right? Yeah. So we wouldn't know. We didn't know that you could will something back to someone.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it was weird, but then I figured it just probably was a pandering to the jury kind of situation. Like, why would Sarah act surprised? And Aubrey was really onto it as well. And we kept bringing it up to me. What was that look? What was that look? But then because we didn't know of the legacy advantage, I don't know what we went to think, oh, maybe there's this. So we just kind of thought it was just heavy pandering and just kind of bizarre.
And that pissed you off where you wanted to get rid of her after that?
Well, that wasn't the only reason, but there was just other things that weren't lining up. Because Sarah had, what you don't see is I felt very close to Sarah. You don't see that at all. Apparently, Sarah couldn't stand me. I had no idea. I thought she was my best friend. Like, we worked together since day one, but then she did lie to me when she ended up going to Debbie's side and voting out Ozzy. So I already, as soon as she did that, I felt kind of weird about her and I could never really fully trust her. So there was just a couple things at that point that were really adding up where we thought, I don't know, should we take her out? But at that point, it did not seem like a good move because we finally had the numbers there.
Did you get a lot of pushback from people in your alliance when you were talking about we should get rid of Sarah at this vote?
Yes. Well, Aubrey and I, because Aubrey was really on board too. In the edit, it shows me being the one that wanted Sarah out and Aubrey talking me back. It was kind of maybe even reversed a little bit. Like, Aubrey was the one that was like really bringing it to my attention, and then I was on board. But then we're like, I don't know, this is a little early. Maybe next vote. But then we did bring it up to Sari, and we started all comparing stories, and Sari shut it down. And that should have been a big sign of, hey, wait a second, why is Sari just shutting this down? But we kind of thought Sari was thinking we were too paranoid and just trying to like calm us down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, no one was on board for that, obviously.
Andrea, another thing that surprised me about this season was the way that your relationship ended up panning out with Zeke. I was also surprised, and again, because
you were great. What do you mean? What are you talking about?
I was surprised that you guys could never get back on the same page during the game. Could you just talk about your relationship with him and how that ultimately ended up deteriorating?
Yeah, well, we started from the beginning. I felt I was tightest with him and Sarah, and then Sari, and then later Aubrey, but I always felt that I didn't have to worry about Zeke. Like, I just felt, okay, Zeke and I are locked, so I don't even have to worry about him. I'm going to work on these other relationships. I'll always have Zeke. We'll always have each other's back. So then when he came after me right after the merge, that was a huge shock to my system, because I didn't know. I just felt very personal that he would specifically target me. And I wasn't planning on going after him. I mean, look, Rob, obviously I didn't want to sit in the final three with Zeke. And he also admitted he didn't want to sit in the final three with me, but I didn't think I would ever have to turn on him. I felt, it's our alliance. We're going to take on these other people. Eventually, one of us is going to be taken out by the opposing alliance. But it's like the chance of us both getting to the final three are so slim, we don't even have to turn on each other. Let's have each other's back. So that really hit me hard emotionally. And after that, I think I was just so broken by that relationship that I just knew he was going to come after me again at some point, which, as you saw, he was ready to come after me the next vote if I wouldn't have voted him off. So I guess my instinct was right. It was too bad, though. I wish that I wouldn't have went down that way, because I really like Zeke. It was just, I think we're just very similar people. We like to make the moves, call the shots, like to be in the center of attention. And I think ultimately we just were not going to work out.
Yeah. And I got that from the Ponderosa, that you guys were able to very quickly just put everything behind you and just go back to being friends after the game.
Oh, thank goodness. I mean, it would have been a disaster if we were getting along. Yeah.
Do you have anything that you look back on that you feel like was your biggest regret from a game perspective in this season?
Biggest regret? Well, it's not like a ton of regrets. I was trying so hard to not be as paranoid and crazy, but I almost think that that ended up hurting me, because every time I would feel that I should go and make sure I was okay with everyone and check in, then I would have that instinct, but then I would make sure, I'd be like, Andrea, calm down. You're going to freak people out. Stay in the shelter. So then I would sit back. And I think that maybe, I think other people were getting nervous about me because I wasn't checking in as much. Someone like Sarah was checking in constantly. And I was like, oh, but we're good. And I think maybe me not checking in as much on Zeke, on Sari, on Sarah actually kind of hurt me. So trying to overcorrect that paranoia maybe ended up hurting me in the long run.
Interesting. Because I feel like that's part of the BR rules, isn't it? To do the check-in?
Well, I still was checking in. I just wasn't being obsessive about it.
You were trying to walk
because
back.
Because my second season, the big complaint was Andrea's so paranoid. She's scampering off in the jungle. And so I was trying to act more chill and confident so people would be confident that I was confident in our relationship. But I have a really tricky time finding that middle ground, for sure. And it didn't help that I was winning challenges.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and really super impressive what you were able to do in the challenges again this season. I think that people forgot how good you were in those challenges. So great job with that. I want to go back to the loved ones visit from last week. First, in terms of the selection of Sari and Sarah, do you have any second guesses on who you should have gone with in that selection? I know it ended up pissing off Michaela. Ultimately, Sari and Sarah end up being co-conspirators in voting you out this week. Do you feel like you would have done it any differently?
I don't know if I would have done it any differently. The thing was, all three of us came. Yeah, it's so hard, Rob. I mean, the three of us came together. It looks like I'm the one that says it. Okay, I assure you, we all got in the huddle. And I'm like, I don't know, what do we do here? Who seems like they're the most emotional? Who, you can't say who needs it the most, because you can't decide for like who needs it more than someone else. But we, you know, it's Sari. She was so emotional. It was her son. So we all just kind of decided Sari. It was almost like it wasn't really a strategic decision. It was more like, okay, like even Brad was on board. We're like, okay, we'll just do Sari, get this over with. And then of course I'm the one that had to say it, because Jeff said, okay, who'd you guys choose? And it felt like a whole freaking 30 seconds went by. And finally, I'm like, okay, someone has to say it. And then it was me. And then, of course, Michaela got all upset with me. I don't know. I don't know if I'd have done anything differently, though. Because otherwise, if you pick Michaela, don't pick Sari. Mm-hmm. Yes, Sari's smart and maybe would understand why you did that. But she's still going to be super affected by it.
Yeah. Andrea, I also wanted to say, and I heard from a lot of people, just how touching it was when your mom came out and you guys shared the moment about your sister. That was something that I had not known about you and really was just a very touching moment to see on the show.
Yeah, I was surprised that that made air, but it is like all kind of true. And I think it was really, it was just really special to have my mom out there. I mean, my whole family has kind of been involved in Survivor in some capacity.
Yeah, and again, that's something that knowing now, I would never have advised you to not go and play again. So really feel
yeah,
extra
you're
dumb.
Yeah, you're feeling bad about yourself now, Rob.
Yeah, I'm the one that I won't be able to sleep now. And then, Andrea, so now that you've done this three times, you feel like you're in a good place with it. Obviously, you have so much going on in your career now. Are you done playing Survivor now, or is it a, well, if they ask me back, how could I say no?
Well, I don't know, Rob. You like to give me career advice. So
no,
what is
no more
your
advice.
Opinion?
No more advice. I'm asking you, what do you want to do?
Well, look, I'm not saying never, never, because you know how it is when you get the call. But right now, I think I'm just going to chill. It's okay. It's honestly not anything I'm thinking about right now.
Okay.
But maybe, who knows what's going to be going on in 2 or 3 years? Like, I don't know.
All right, Andrea. Well, great job. Congratulations again. Looking forward to seeing you next week and all the best, okay?
Awesome. Thank you, Rob.
All right, take care, Andrea. Bye.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, there you have it. Miss Survivor, Andrea Belke. That title never goes away, Miss Survivor. One, it's like being president. You just, she's always a Miss Survivor. Andrea Belke, and great job on the exit interview. Lots of fun with Andrea. And I hope we get the chance to do a longer interview with Andrea along the way on the off-season podcast series. Now, before we get to Michaela, I just want to quickly mention something else that's going to be going on during the off-season. This is currently, you're listening to Rob as a Podcast, episode number 1985. So we are 15 episodes away from 2,000 episodes of Rob has a Podcast. That doesn't include any wrap ups or post show recaps, but this is the 1985th episode of Rob has a Podcast, and we are doing a special show for our 2000th episode coming up in about 2.5-3 weeks from now. And what we want to do is hear from you guys about what your favorite moments were from the first 2000 episodes, and probably maybe try to focus a little bit more on the stuff we've done since our 1000th episode, because we did a look back at 1,000 episodes. So if you want to send us in any of your favorite moments that you want to hear on the show, you can send those in to RHAP2K at robhasawebsite.com, or you can post them on Twitter and use hashtag RHAP2K, and we'll try to pull a bunch of clips. And then if I can, I'll try to get people on the show to talk about those moments with me that were involved in said moment. So I'm really looking forward to that. All right, so let's switch gears to somebody that has given us more than a few Survivor moments over these last two seasons. She ends up going out in this really crazy tribal council. Let's welcome back to the exit interview Michaela Bradshaw. Michaela, how's it going?
I'm doing fantastic. How you doing, Rob?
Very good, Michaela. Wow. I wish I could say I was doing fantastic. I think I'm just doing okay. Michaela, this was a very exciting episode of Survivor last night, and I'm hoping that you can walk me through what the hell happened.
Yeah, definitely. So going into tribal council, Sarah was hell-bent on sending Aubrey home. But Sari was hell-bent on sending Ty home. And instead of just gathering votes the normal way, which would have worked in this case, because Ty didn't have that many friends in the game, what Sari chose to do was establish this elaborate, crazy scheme of using Sarah's advantage to vote out Sarah's friend Ty. And of course, as we saw, that whole thing blew up in her face. The reason that Sari did not read the terms and conditions of that advantage prior to tribal council is because Sarah purposefully held on to that advantage until moments before tribal council to make sure that Sari didn't have a chance to read it.
Okay.
So when Sari pulled it out, she made Sarah feel uncomfortable. And then all of a sudden, the entire plan changed. So Sari's trying to convince Sarah that she wasn't against her. Brad sees this as an opportunity to get out of the bottom. and make headway with Sarah. So he's trying to egg on the fact that they, i.e. Saree and Michaela, were trying to take Sarah out, even though I had nothing to do with it. And, you know, chaos ensued, and next thing you know, I'm getting 4 votes and I go home.
Okay. Can you tell us about what were some of the things that were being whispered at this tribal council? Because this was another one of these instances where it's very exciting to watch, but we really couldn't tell what was being said, except when you were telling Troyzan, yeah, slide to the side.
That's just odd talk. But no, so this is what was happening. Names were being whispered, right? So Saree comes over to me and tries to say original plan, which the original plan was to vote Aubrey. But you can't take Sarah and have her all going crazy and then say original plan, because Sarah's not going with the original plan. So that's why it was important to go back to Sarah and be like, yo, just so you know, I'm not a part of this. And as I'm trying to explain that to Sarah, like, don't come shoot me because you're mad at Saree. Then Brad and Troyzan are running over here so they can throw their 2 cents in the mix. And it's just like, it just was too much. But it, as you saw, everybody's over here running to Sarah, trying to take their cues from Sarah. When if we would have really been thinking, we would have said, hey, it's enough people here for people to make their own decision. So, you know, but it was just chaotic, man.
No. In the moment, on the, you know, original run through of this, you know, you sound critical of the move now. Did you tell Saree about your reservations the afternoon that this was all going down?
Yes, I told Saree multiple times, and she was like, no, trust me, we can't trust Ty. I trust Aubrey. And I was like, Saree, Aubrey voted for me. I've caught Aubrey in lies this whole season. That's not the one to trust. But I don't know why Saree had it so much out for Ty. I just don't get it. But I was against it. But my whole thing was, Saree's been the one person that's been open and honest with me this whole game. And I don't like conflict. Like, I'll have it if it's for a reason. But that was one of the times where I should have, instead of trying to, you know, get Saree to understand how I felt, I should have started scrambling with other people. So that is Survivor 101 mistake that I made, and it culminated with me going home.
Michaela, I rewatched the episode last night, and I ended up having a little bit of a different takeaway after watching the second time, where when I watched it the first time, I was like, oh, this is just a move for Saree that she wants Ty out. She's not really concerned about saving Sarah. But when I watched it the second time, I felt like that Saree was convinced by Aubrey that Sarah really was going to get voted out by Ty, and she really was trying to save Sarah. Is that the correct read of what was going on?
Yeah, Saree 100% was literally trying to take Sarah's vote to save Sarah. And the way she was going to save Sarah was by sending home Ty. But Saree wasn't wrong, because there was whispers about voting off Sarah. That's true. It's just that the numbers weren't adding up correctly, because Aubrey and Ty didn't know if they could trust each other. And Ty is infamous for like flipping back and forth and changing his mind at the last minute. So the numbers were a little off. And so it became a race to who's going to run to Sarah and tell Sarah first to secure Sarah's vote, because now we're either going to vote for Aubrey or Ty. And it just so happens that Ty got to Sarah before Saree got to Sarah, and Aubrey couldn't go to Sarah because Sarah didn't like Aubrey. So that's what it was. It was this big, confusing thing. But had they just came to me and said, vote Sarah, we could have voted Sarah, but they wouldn't talk to me.
One of the other things that I think a lot of us are still confused about, and I'm not sure if you know the answer to this, but why did Sarah end up taking Ty's vote if she was going to end up voting you out?
I think the reason she did that was, one, if you're going to take Ty's vote, it makes it to other people look like you might vote Ty, which, you know, in my case, if she wants to vote for me, she definitely doesn't want to take my vote, because then it makes me feel uncomfortable, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I also think that when Sarah initially got up and whispered to Ty, I think she whispered a voting strategy, which was vote Michaela. And I don't think that Ty wanted to vote for me. And you notice Ty did not respond to what Sarah said. He just looked scared. And so then Sarah realized, oh, I can't rely on Ty for this vote. Well, I'm taking Ty's vote. We're not going to give him an option now, because he didn't choose to go my route. So now he doesn't get an option. So I think that's what it was. Like, who else's vote are you going to take?
I mean, I think that what we were saying last night was, why not take Aubrey's vote?
Yeah, I think that should have been an option, too. I think just Sarah just, I don't know. We don't have to ask Sarah.
Okay, we'll ask her next week.
Oh, yeah, you're going to ask everybody next week.
Yeah. So then, going back to last week, it seemed like that you were getting into, a really solid alliance with Ty. But then on the episode last night, it seemed like that you were out on Ty. Did something change between the relationship between the two of you?
Yeah, Ty does this thing called change his mind every 5 minutes. And so you don't know what's going on with him. And I understand it because in the same sense that I'm not the manipulative, backstabbing type, Ty is not either. Ty has a huge heart and he doesn't like conflict. So if he likes two people that are playing against each other, then he flips back and forth like 22 times a day. And so you cannot rely on him for anything, which is the problem with playing with Ty. So that's all that was. I like Ty to this day. I love Ty. I think he's great. I just think he's a horrible person to try to play with because he changes his mind. There's nothing constant about what he wants to do. You just have to wait and see.
So I got a chance to watch you on the Ponderosa video, and there's also a secret scene, and you're hilarious in both of those. But in the video, I think it's called Michaela Ruffles Feathers. That's one of the secret scenes. It's really showing more about the relationship that you had out there with Brad and Troyzan. And it seems like that you guys don't have a great relationship. Why was there so much friction with those guys between you and them?
There was a ton of friction between me and Brad, just like it was me and Sierra, a ton of friction. The friction was not going from me to them. It was from them to me. And I don't know why. I hope to be able to ask them to their faces. But I don't know. And me and Brad just never got along. Now, the thing with Troyzan, I love Troyzan. To this day, I love Troyzan. But when we got to that, when we got swapped back to that Monotribe together, somebody told a lie to him and he believed it and he became afraid of me. And so, and I noticed the change in his demeanor towards me. And I looked at Troyzan as my Jay, because I love Jay. But Jay got spooked and voted for me. And I knew that Troyzan can get spooked. And if Troyzan gets spooked, I can't trust him. He's going to vote for me. So it was a constant struggle in my heart with Troyzan. Because I wanted to be close to him like I was at the beginning of the game, but I knew somebody had already gotten to him. And Brad was just the annoying person that was in the way. So it was just, I don't know what it was. Me and Brad, we just didn't get along. And it was just, I just felt like there was a lot of tension coming from him to me. And I genuinely do not know why. I think he's a great family man and he has lots of great qualities that way. But as far as how he interacted towards me in that game, I didn't like that.
Did you feel like there was a miscommunication between you and him about the go fish stuff last night?
Yeah, definitely. And I take that one in my fault. Like, I did not communicate with the tact that I should have in that situation. So what was happening, unbeknownst to Brad, well, Brad knew that everybody was trying to vote for him. But what he didn't know was there was a smaller population of people, myself included, who actually did not want to vote for Brad. So think about how crazy this is. This guy that has been gunning for me and that treats me a certain way that I don't appreciate, but I want him to stay in the game because, one, he can fish, but two, because he's annoying and I just don't feel like people are going to give him $1 million. But anywho, so I want him to stay in the game and my stomach is leading me in this decision. And I'm telling people, yo, we need to keep Brad in the game because we're all going to starve. We got like a week left. We will starve if he leaves this game. And people start, minds start changing for whatever reason. They feel like Andrea might be a better choice than Brad. And then somebody points out that Brad is missing. And that means he's looking for an idol. And so I say, I'll go find Brad, make sure he doesn't find an idol. And I go to him and I'm like, yo, my suggestion to you is that you go fishing. Now, because I don't trust Brad and he's been gunning for me, I can't tell him, I want you to go fishing because I just told everybody that they need to vote for Andrea instead of you because you can keep us fed the next 7 days. I can't say that.
Right.
So all I can say is go fish. But I just said it in a bad way.
Right.
And he took it like, Michaela's trying to blackmail me. Like, that doesn't even make sense. Do you know what blackmail is?
Yeah, right. But yeah, I think you made a good point in that secret scene where you're saying to other people about how if he wants people to not think he's looking for the idol, he should be in the water, because then nobody will think he's looking for the idol if he's in the water going fishing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But he didn't. The best thing he could think of with his smart self is Michaela wants to blackmail me by making me useful to the camp. Like, that doesn't even make any sense.
Can you talk about the idea that you did? Because you did something that nobody's really ever done before this season, where you brought props with you to tribal council when JT got voted out, and you did the coffee cup, and then when Debbie got voted out, and you did like you were eating popcorn. Was that something that you had thought about before the season, or that was just sort of like a spur of the moment thing?
That was an in the game thought. And the reason being is because, again, coming into this game, I wanted to allow myself to be underestimated, but I didn't realize the extent to which I would be, you know, placed in a box. And it was like, oh, if Michaela walks, she's annoying. If Michaela sits down, she's lazy. If Michaela eats, she's eating too much. You know, if Michaela's mad that we lost and she's not a team player. Like, it was just, I couldn't win for losing with these people. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, a downside to this strategy and to this extra, like, negativeness that was put on me by other people was some people really thought that I was just, like, stupid and didn't know what was going on. And so the reason I brought props to important tribal councils, like when the game was actually shifting, is to let people know, even though you've been trying to count me out this whole time, even though you think I'm stupid, even though you talk to me in a negative way, I'm going to let you know that I'm on the right side of this important vote that's sending you home or that's breaking up your alliance.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I can't do all this talking and be all overt in camp like other people are allowed to be. I have to sit here and play the happy slave in camp. But when we get to this tribal council, I'm going to let you know that while you thought you could count me out, somehow I'm on the right side of the numbers. I knew exactly what was going down, and you have no idea why. So that was the reason behind the tea and the snacks.
All right, let me ask you two quick questions. Did you know about the legacy advantage from millennials versus Gen X?
Oh, no. Uh-uh. Okay.
And then also, What was your reaction when you saw that there was that advantage that was by your feet that you didn't see that Sarah ended up getting, which ultimately ends up getting used in this vote where you go home?
Yeah, I thought it was so poetic. I think it was just, it was God letting me know, Michaela, you need to work on this aspect of your personality, which is being able to keep your anger down in negative situations and hunt the good stuff, as Sandra would say. So I knew about the advantage in the game because Sarah actually told me about it and where she found it. I was looking forward to watching it on TV because I wanted to see how close to me was it. And when I saw it was right by my ankle, I was like, Michaela, look, you just missed your blessing. So, You know, it was a $1 million lesson that I could have went to like some scripture in the Bible to control my anger with. But, you know, now I learned. $1 million, but I learned it.
Michaela, great stuff. And those secret scenes, you're so funny on them. And at least you don't ever go out in a boring tribal council, you know?
I know. I love that. I go out in style.
All right, Michaela, great stuff. And best of luck, okay?
Thank you.
All right, take care. Bye. All right, everybody, there you have it. There's Michaela, and she really is very fun. I feel like we didn't really see a lot of that here in this season. I feel like we definitely got it much more. I really was a big fan of hers on Millennials versus Gen X, and I feel like that most of the time this season, her storyline was about people talking about how they didn't like her. And other than those times at Tribal Council, I feel like we didn't get to see too much of the fun Michaela, but those secret scenes, I think you really get to see it a lot. And for whatever reason, we just didn't see, even though she made it much further, I feel like we didn't get to see a lot of her personality in this season. But very fun stuff with Michaela. All right, everybody, let's switch gears. And for the final time here in Survivor Game Changers, a man who makes sure that I always read the rules, read the fine print about this game. Here is the great Jordan Kalish.
Hey, Rob, how's it going? It's been a while.
Yes, it's been a minute. And here we are back to talk about the game that you've created, that you've changed, This week at Survivor History, the quiz.
Many times. It's been changed many times. It's the format's changed. And you know what? We didn't record last week. You lost the week before that. So it's been 3 weeks since you've won the quiz. That's a very long time.
And now I have a vendetta. A vendetta against the quiz. Be ready, because the legacy advantage is coming out tonight.
Oh, wow. Yes, you did. You had a 5-week winning streak earlier in the season, for those of you who don't remember, and you did win a legacy advantage. You informed me that you would be playing it. This was the last week you could play it. We're at the final six.
It's payback time.
And you know, I just hope you know, this legacy advantage is not transferable. You can't give it to anybody. You can't give it to Wiggler. You can't give it to Nicole.
Don't worry.
Okay?
Yeah.
So you're keeping it.
That's fine.
You can't give it to Suri.
I got it.
So you're using it tonight, and I will announce what the legacy advantage is now. So for each question, you will receive a percentage that the audience, and the audience are people, they're Survivor podcasters, former Survivor players, Survivor fans, RHAP fans, people that I polled over the last week. I gave them each question. Each of them answered the question. Hopefully they did not cheat and look online. I think most of them did not, because they most people responded pretty quickly. So you're going to get a percentage that each question was answered. So it'll be just like the Ask the Audience on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. So for example, if the if the answer is D, but 55% of the people thought it was B, you will only get the information of how the percentage of people that answered each question.
We will get into all that. But first, let me thank our sponsor here on our Double Exit Interview podcast and This Week in Survivor History, the quiz season finale. And those are our friends over at the Home Depot, who have the Samsung Flex Wash and Flex Dry washer and dryer pair. Jordan, I know as an active guy, you have a lot of laundry, right?
I do, and I usually wait way too long to do it. I wish I can do the two loads at the same time.
And you take care of all that yourself, or your mom helps you out with this?
No, I do all my laundry myself now.
Look at you.
Well, I hate it. It's the worst.
Yeah. Well, life would be a lot easier with the Samsung Flex Wash and Flex Dry, because the innovative appliance is the first ever to allow you to wash two loads and dry two loads of laundry at the same time in the same machine. So when you do your laundry, you don't have to mix those different colors and fabrics together. No color merging when you don't want it. You'll risk color transfer and fabric damage. Flex Wash integrates the large capacity lower washer for everyday washes and an additional washer for separate colors or delicates. Flex Dry integrates a large tumble dryer for everyday items and a flat dryer for delicates. Both the washer and dryer have a number of innovative game-changing features to make doing laundry easier on you and your clothes. Plus, Flex Wash offers a steam wash option for removing the stains and self-clean to keep the washer odor-free. Flex Dry also features multi-steam to steam away odors and wrinkles, while Sensor Dry optimizes drying temperatures to avoid damage to your clothes. Both are Wi-Fi connected, allowing you to set and start the machines and receive an alert when your load is finished. And together, the Flex Wash and Flex Dry offer the ultimate flexibility to provide you the best possible care for your clothes. That's the Samsung Flex Wash and Flex Dry pair, available at Home Depot. All right, Jordan, let's get into the quiz.
All right, Rob. So we are going to start. We're going to go, and yes, we've gone to Survivor Panama a lot. We've gone to Survivor Micronesia a lot, because Suri is on the season. Suri is one of my favorite players of all time, and she had a very interesting night tonight. But the reason we've gone to this these two seasons so much is that Suri is a legendary player. She's on the season, and these are her two past seasons. So we're going there again, first to Survivor Panama, and this is from the episode called The Wambulance. You still have your 50-50. You still have your point doubler. However, for each question, you are going to get the percentages that my audience answered over
your
the
audience.
Past week. It's really your audience, but it was my audience this week. Okay. So question number one, would you like to use the point doubler on this question?
No, I would not.
All right. This episode begins with an argument between Suri and Terry. What was the cause of this argument? A, Suri lied to Terry that Danielle would be the one voted out at the previous tribal council instead of Shane. B, Terry tells Danielle and Aris in front of Suri that she needs to be the next one voted out. C, Terry overreacted to Suri putting her torch down in the dark, causing him to trip. D, Terry brags about the fact that he has final three locked up due to his hidden immunity idol. So what I want you to do, I want you to give me your answer. And then after that, I won't ask you final answer. I will read the percentages and see if it sways your opinion.
I'll say that the – The thing about the torch sounds familiar, but I'm definitely not sure.
You said C sounds familiar. C actually did get 62% of the vote. A, which was Suri lied to Terry that Danielle would be voted out at the previous tribal council, got 22% of the vote. Third place was B with 14%. And last place was D with only 2% of the vote.
Okay. Well, that was my gut choice. Your listeners ended up going with that as well. So I'll stick with C.
All right. C, you and the audience are both correct. Very good. Yes. Terry has a interesting moment at the beginning of that episode where Suri is walking back from the tribal council in which Shane was voted out. She puts her torch down and Terry is kind of a baby about it because he either tripped or he thought he was going to trip. And he starts yelling at Suri, causing a big argument after the tribal council. So very good. You are one for one. Shireen is one of the former survivors who answered the questions here. I had this question worded a little bit differently where it sort of sounded like it was Suri's fault, that she put the torch down in front of him, but really she didn't do anything wrong. Terry was the one who overreacted here. So good catch by Shireen. And I kind of like having like the market research here because I got a lot of input, from the people I sent the quiz to.
Okay. Legacy advantage, a big boon to This Week in Survivor History, the quiz.
Yes. I love it. So question number two, you're doing very well. One for one, you need 5 points to win. This episode ends with a cliffhanger. What is the last thing we see in this episode, the last one before the season finale? A, Jeff announces that he will read the votes at the final four tribal council. B, Jeff is about to flip over the fourth vote, which would tie Suri and Danielle with two apiece, the 2v2. C, Jeff asks if anyone has the hidden immunity idol after the votes are read. D, Jeff says survivors ready, begin, in order to start the final four tiebreaker between Suri and Danielle.
I think that it is the tiebreaker is about to start.
So that would be question. That would be answer D. Mm-hmm. D. All right, so that's what you think. Let's see what the audience thought. A, Jeff announces that he'll read the votes of the final four tribal council, only receive 5%. B, Jeff's about to flip over the fourth vote, which would tie Suri and Danielle. That only receives 7%. C, which is Jeff asks if anyone has the hidden immunity idol after the votes are read, only 16%. And D was a resounding 72%. So the audience agrees with you. Is that going to be your final answer? Do you agree with the audience?
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with the audience.
Final answer. And Rob, you are correct. You are 2 for 2. You have gotten through Panama unscathed and you have 2 points. So now we're going to go to Survivor Micronesia. You and the audience are doing very, very well.
Yes. Okay, good. Very smart listeners.
Yes, very smart listeners. Yes, your listeners, not my listeners, but they were my audience. So question, here we're going to Survivor Micronesia finale, Stir the Pot. This is from May 11th, 2008. Yes, that is last week in Survivor history, but we did not do the quiz last week. This is the episode where Suri is voted out of Survivor Micronesia, so we had to include it. I think it's my quiz. I get to make the rules here. So question number three, much like the episode.
You're really feeling your oats on the season finale.
Rob, I spent a lot of time on this quiz, not only with the questions this week, but I had to look at the 42 people answered the call to be part of the audience. So I really had a lot of time with these questions. So I've sort of taken ownership over them. So question number three, much like the episode we just discussed from Panama, this Micronesia finale included a post-tribal council argument, including Suri. This time her opponent was Amanda Kimmel. What occurred at the final four tribal council in which Natalie Bolton went home that caused this argument? A, Amanda took exception to the fact that Suri said she was at the bottom of the alliance with Amanda and Parvati. B, Suri said in front of the jury that Amanda was riding her and Parvati's coattails. C, Amanda alluded to the fact that Suri would be the next to go if the season included a final two instead of a final three. D, trick question, no argument occurred after this tribal.
Yeah, I'm really pretty foggy about this. I don't really remember too much about it, which leads me to believe it was D, but I guess if I want to use the 50-50 here.
If you use the 50-50, I am going to give you the two most common audience answers.
Oh, well, that doesn't make it that exciting. So I can't use the 50-50 after I hear the percentages?
You can.
Okay.
But you know it, you'll know which ones I'm going to take away.
Okay. Well, then can I hear the percentages?
All right. The percentages are for question three, A, which was Amanda took exception to the fact that Cerise said she was at the bottom of the alliance with Amanda and Parvati. That got 61%. B, Cerise said in front of the jury that Amanda was riding her and Parvati's coattails. That received 22%. C, Amanda alluded to the fact that Cerise would be the next to go if the season included a final two. That was actually 0%. No one said C. And 17% thought I was trying to trick you and that no argument occurred after the tribal.
So really, the 50-50 is worthless this week.
That's true, actually. I didn't think about that. Yeah. But that is pretty true.
Yeah.
So maybe I won't. Maybe I'll change it up. If you use the 50-50, maybe I'll eliminate the second place answer for a future question. I'll think about it. I'll think about it in the next
for the next season.
7 minutes.
For the next season. Yeah. Now, what if the audience was wrong and it was that the answer was the 17% answer and then it was actually came in third place? Would you eliminate one of the other choices?
I guess I would then eliminate the second place answer. I'm not sure exactly how that would work. I hope that doesn't happen.
Okay. I'll side with the audience here. I'll go with the, A with 61%?
A, 61%. Amanda took exception to the fact that Cerise said she was at the bottom of the alliance with Amanda and Parvati. A, is that your final answer?
My final answer. My final answer.
All right. The audience has been correct so far. However, on this question, no, just kidding. They're still correct. You are 3 for 3. You have 3 points. The legacy advantage kicking in there. You didn't seem so sure about that one. But yeah, it's very interesting, actually, watching these two episodes back to back, because the episode, they really start. Well, this, you know, this was the middle of the episode because the final four started the finale. But yeah, Sari gets back from tribal, and Amanda's really hurt that Sari said right in front of the jury that she was at the bottom of the alliance with her and Parvati. Amanda's trying to make the point that it was, you know, a collaborative effort between the three of them during the season. But she really sort of proves at the next tribal council when she votes Sari out that it sort of is the case. So I think Sari was correct here as well. But yeah, you were 3 for 3, and Amanda would have, of course, go on to vote out Sari and lose to Parvati.
Okay. So this is going swimmingly.
It is. Yeah. The audience has been great. You've been great. We are 3 for 3, and we're going to question number 4. Why did Sari think that she would win the final immunity challenge in which contestants had to balance a ball on a segmented boat oar? And just to remind you, this is basically the same final immunity challenge from Survivor Philippines that Denise defeated Malcolm in. Choice A, Sari had done the same challenge in Panama and performed well, narrowly losing to Terry. B, as a nurse, Sari has experience keeping her hands still while holding instruments during surgery. C, Sari said that focus is her greatest challenge attribute, and this particular challenge is very focus-based. D, Sari noticed that Amanda and Parvati looked very nervous before the challenge while she felt calm.
I feel like pretty strong that it is B, about being a nurse, but I'm not sure necessarily. Now, could you just repeat the first part of the question? This is why she was mad that she didn't win, or why she felt confident going in?
Why did she think she would win the immunity challenge when she had to balance the ball on the boat oar?
I mean, I'm leaning towards B, but I guess let's hear the percentages.
All right, so the audience was, for A, she had done the same challenge in Panama and narrowly lost to Terry, only got 5%. B, the one that your answer going into the S, the audience, was 73%. C was only 12%, and that was, she said, focus is her greatest challenge attribute. And D was 10%. Sari noticed that Amanda and Parvati looked nervous before the challenge.
Okay. And then if I was to use the 50-50, you would eliminate the top two answers?
The bottom percentages, yes.
Okay, you're the bottom too.
Or maybe I wouldn't. Maybe I would change it up. Maybe the audience is wrong. You never know.
I mean, I'll stick with the answer that I felt strongest about, that the audience also overwhelmingly agreed with, B.
So the 73%, Rob, it is good to go with your gut. It's good to go to the audience. You are correct. You are 4 for 4. You're 1 point away from winning this quiz. We still have 3 questions left. You still have your point doubler. You still have the 50-50. So you're doing very well this week. A comeback week from losing 2 weeks ago in the All Belky this week in Survivor history. So talking about it, Andrea Belky, and I know you just spoke to her on the exit interview. We're going to go just one question here to the Redemption Island finale. This is May 15th, 2011, 6 years ago this past Monday. Question number 5, would you like to use the point doubler?
This is the final question?
This is the only question of Survivor Redemption Island. There's 3 questions left.
Oh my God. Okay. No point doubler.
No point doubler. Yeah. All right. So question five, on day 36, Amanda won the final Redemption Island duel of the season and returned to the game for a short-lived second chance. Of the following four contestants who did not compete in this final duel against Andrea, was it A, Grant Matos, B, Matt Elrod, C, Mike Chisel, D, Ralph Kaiser? Ralph Deshone Kaiser, so say.
I think it's Ralph. I think that he was already out at that point, but I guess let's hear what the choices are. Percentages.
All right. So Grant had 15%, Matt had 10%, Mike had 7%, and Ralph, the audience agrees with you again, 68%. Overwhelming.
Okay. Let's go with Ralph, the Kaiser.
We're going with the audience, and you are correct. Congratulations, Rob. You are 5 for 5. You have enough points to win the quiz. However, the only way you could lose now is if you were to lose the point, if you were to use the point doubler and lose a point here and then not get the next question right. So I'm guessing you might not use the point doubler, or you might get a little cocky here and use the point doubler to try to get the perfect 8 points.
No.
So we're going to question number 6, and this is the Survivor Korong finale, pretty controversial episode in Survivor history called Not Going Down Without a Fight, May 18th, 2016, 1 year ago today, actually. So this is this should be pretty recent in all of our memories. And would you, again, you said you're not using the point doubler. So question 6. After Debbie asked her jury question, which facet of the game did Ty say he had the most difficult time with? So this question involves two game changers, Debbie and Ty. Debbie asked a question and Ty said he had an issue or a difficult time with one of the facets of the game. Was it A, the strategic game, B, the physical game, C, the social game, D, befriending the chicken?
I mean, my impulse is to say the strategic part of the game, but I guess let's hear the percentages.
All right. A, the strategic game. The audience agrees with you again, 63%. Only 7% said the physical game. 30% said the social game. And 0% went with the obvious joke answer of befriending the chicken.
Okay. I guess let's go with strategic.
All right. We're going with the audience. The audience has been correct so far. However, not correct here. It was actually the social game. It was a very interesting answer where I don't think Ty gave the answer that Debbie was looking for, because the social game really didn't seem to be his issue. I think it was more the strategic game and sort of not having his own strategy and being able to own his game at the end. So it was actually the social game here. And I was a little bit surprised by this, but I do remember you when you were covering the finale of the season, talking about this and how weird of an answer it was that he thought that the social game was the weakest facet of his game. So no more perfect score. However, you still have the 5 points. You have one question left. You could get 6 points this week, or if you want to use the point doubler, you could risk it to get the biscuit, but you would put yourself in danger of losing.
What fun would it be, Jordan? Look, that people are listening to me play this pretend game with, I don't lose any money if I lose. Why not? Let's go for it.
All right. Wow. He's risking it. I will, the next time I see you, I will give you a biscuit if you get this question correct. I will find a biscuit and bring it to Know-It-Alls or something, or whatever the next event would be that I
would.
Yeah, let's do it.
Who cares?
I like this, Rob. This is great. This is fantastic. I'm so happy you're doing this. Question number 7. We're still talking Survivor Korong. Despite arguably playing the best strategic game of the season, Aubrey lost the final jury vote to Michelle. What was the outcome of this vote? Was it A, 6-2, B, 5-2, C, 5-3, D, 4-3? And what I will let you do, I will let you use the 50-50 on this question. However, you will use it before I read you the percentages. That's the game. That's the game change. Game change mid-game.
Oh, well, then you tell me.
Yeah. No, I'm kidding. I mean, I'll read you the percentages first if you want.
That's fine. Let me just talk it through here. Believe that jury was an 8-person jury. They started with Neil. Who's on the jury? So Neil, Nick is on the jury. Debbie is on the jury. Scott, Jason, Julia, and then also Sydney and Pop Joe. So that's 8 people. And then Neil got his vote stolen. And then Nick ended up, I think Nick voted for Aubrey. And did Joe vote for Aubrey? I think so. So I'm guessing it was 5-2. I believe that was the case. So that's where I'm leaning right now.
All right, so let's see what the audience said. They were wrong last question. Let's see if they could redeem yourselves and you could redeem yourself here. A win would get you a total of 7 points. A loss would get you a total of 4. So a big 3-point swing here. A win would get you the 7 points here. So choice A of 6-2 received 12% of the vote. Choice B, which is your gut answer, 66%. C received 17% and D received 5%. Well, so 5-3 was 17%. 4-3 was 5%.
I will stick with my guns here. And if the audience agrees with me, I mean, your listeners have only steered me wrong once. So I will go with the crowd.
Go with the crowd. Okay. And this is a very, very interesting crowd. You really big Survivor fans here. These are people that I really talk to all the time. Very knowledgeable about Survivor. Bunch of Survivor podcasters here. We have David Bloomberg, Nick Iadanza, Bloom and Wiggler, Paul Aslison. So some great Survivor podcasters and some past Survivors. I know I already mentioned Shireen. Brett LaBelle and Adam Klein were both part of the pool as well. And Rob, the audience steered you correctly. You have won the game. The answer is B, 5-2. I owe you a biscuit. I will get it for you at the next know-it-alls.
I want a Cheddar Bay biscuit. Love you, Cheddar Bay biscuit.
Cheddar Bay. Where's that from?
Red Lobster. Where Debbie works.
Red Lobster. Yeah. Okay. I'll get you a Cheddar Bay Red Lobster biscuit. I'm sure I could find one in the city the next time we have know-it-alls.
Okay. Great.
So congratulations. You end on a great note. And I have to give a special shout-out here this week. There were 3 people. So like I said, I pooled 42 people. Only 3 of the 42 received perfect scores. One of them was Survivor historian Paul Aslison. So great job by him. One of them was the Twitter prolific Johnny DeSilvera. And the other one is Michael J. Clark. So very nice job to the 3 of them. Everyone else, thank you so much for getting back to me. It was really an overwhelming amount of people who got back to me with the quiz. And it was great talking to you, too. And the advice that I got for some of the questions was very helpful. So nice job, guys. Nice job, Rob. Nicely done. And you end the season as a winner. So winner, winner, chicken dinner, and you get a biscuit.
We did it. All right. Jordan Kalish, great work. We only had a couple of snafus along the way. So overall, very outstanding job.
Thank you. I don't think there were snafus, but thank you for saying I did an outstanding job.
I mean, a couple of poorly worded question here, intentionally deceptive question here. But for the most part, very good job.
Yeah, I mean, when you guess a quiz, I think sometimes you're supposed to be a little bit deceptive. I think what you consider poorly worded is me trying to make you think. But who knows? That's up for Twitter to decide. And I think most of them have sided with me on this debate.
Okay. All right. Well. All right, Jordan. So all the best to you. And your listeners.
Yes, to you too.
Yes.
And Rob, sincerely, I know we like to bicker a little bit about this quiz, but great job with the Survivor covers this season. I really love listening. It makes my commute so much better in the morning and on the way home. And can't wait till the off season and can't wait till season 35.
Okay. Good stuff, Jordan. You take care, buddy.
You too.
Bye. All right. All right, there you have it. This Week in Survivor History with Jordan Kalish, and a great job by him all season long. Coming up next, we're going to get into everything with the young lad, Spencer. If you have questions to send in for that show, you can always email us, survivor@robhasawebsite.com, or post them on our Facebook page. So fire away if you have a question for Spencer. And if you have a voicemail, again, that plenty of time until I get to Mike Bloom on Friday afternoon, robhasawebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. Big thanks to everybody who has been using our links for Amazon.com. That is greatly appreciated when you start your shopping at robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. That all adds up when you use our link. So thank you guys so much for that. Been a great season on the exit interviews. We will have exit interviews coming up next Thursday with the winner and all of the final 6. So be on the lookout for that coming up 1 week from today. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.